Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. Please be seated. I have to admit, on the surface anyways, I don't particularly like Jesus in this story. I said it, if you felt that way, you're in good company. I mean, it's difficult to hear a woman come to Jesus because her daughter is suffering, to watch her plead for mercy, and then hear Jesus respond with what sounds like indifference. She cries out, he ignores her. The disciples want her sent away, and so she kneels before Jesus and said, Lord, help me. And Jesus says, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. It's uncomfortable, at least for me. Especially because just before this story, Jesus has been talking about purity. The Pharisees have challenged him about the disciples not washing their hands before they eat, and Jesus responds to this conversation by saying, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, but what comes out of the mouth. What comes out of the mouth, Jesus says, comes from the heart. The place understood in Jesus' time to be the center of a person's inner life, where their thoughts, their will, emotions, where their moral character arose. And then what comes out of Jesus' mouth is this. A woman pleading for her daughter's life is compared to a dog, and Jesus tells her what he has to offer is not for her. If what comes out of the mouth reveals what is in the heart, what are we supposed to make of this moment? I think the author of Matthew wants us to sit in a bit of discomfort here. But he also gives us some clues about how he hopes we will hear and understand this uncomfortable story. Our gospel text this morning also appears in the Gospel of Mark. But Matthew makes some changes. For instance, Mark calls her a Gentile Syrophoenician woman, which that might sound familiar to some folks, while Matthew calls her a Canaanite woman. That might sound like a small, potentially insignificant difference, but it's not. Gentile tells us she's not Jewish. Syrophoenician tells us where she is from. But Canaanite tells us how Israel might remember her in their story. The author of Matthew reaches back into the scriptures and uses an old biblical term that evokes a particular history fraught with conflict and rivalry and displacement. He is doing more than telling the audience that this woman was not Jewish. He is placing her within Israel's memory. He is reminding the readers of the history that is attached to her. Matthew also makes the encounter much more public and much more uncomfortable than Mark. In Mark, Jesus speaks with the woman privately in a house and immediately engages with her and her request. In Matthew, she cries out while the disciples are there. They are watching, they are listening, they are learning. And Jesus initially says nothing to her. The disciples want her sent away. Then Matthew's, Jesus's response is also more explicit. In Mark, Jesus says to the woman, let the children be fed first. While Matthew says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All of these differences that we find in the Gospel of Matthew's telling of this story build tension that I think that the author hopes that we can understand so that we can feel it deeply. He wants the boundary that is being set to be very clear. Jesus' mission is rooted in Israel's covenant and Israel's story, and this woman is outside of that. So what does she do? She kneels before Jesus and says, "Lord, help me." Jesus answers, as we've heard many times, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she says, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." We often hear food metaphors throughout Scripture, and typically they mean something more than just physical nourishment for our bodies, and this story is no different. Those first century ears who were listening to this story would remember and know that Tyre is a wealthy city that depended in part on food from the agricultural regions around Galilee. Particularly in times of scarcity, that economic relationship could become particularly tense, raising very real questions about who had enough and who did not, and who got to make that decision. So when this woman speaks about the crumbs falling from the table, she is speaking into a world where questions of food and wealth and scarcity and who gets enough were very, very real. And this is the moment in our story where it takes a turn. Because the woman does not reject Jesus's metaphor. Instead, she enters into it and pushes it open. "Yes," she says, "and even the dogs receive crumbs." Yes, and there is enough even for my daughter. She isn't asking Jesus to take anything away from Israel in order to give to her. Instead, she's asking whether God's mercy is really so scarce that there isn't even enough for her daughter too. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus responds, "Woman, great is your faith," and her daughter is instantly healed. That woman that Matthew has placed far outside the boundary is now the same exact person that Jesus names as being one of great faith. And this is a good spot for us to remember what Jesus has taught us about the heart. While Matthew places this woman at a clear distance, her own words draw her remarkably close, even using one of the most deeply Israelite titles she could possibly use for Jesus, the Son of David. What comes out of her mouth is not a rejection of faith or of Israel. It is the language of trust and of prayer. And that makes the contrast with the disciples so striking. They want the woman sent away, yet she is the one amongst them who reveals the faith. Matthew has arranged the story so that we have to look again at what we mean when we talk about things like purity and belonging and faith. The person standing outside of the boundary may very well have a closer relationship to God than the people standing safely inside. And perhaps that's a part of what makes this story so uncomfortable. The woman does not belong by Matthew's standards, and yet she refuses to disappear. She speaks. She persists, She even challenges Jesus, it would seem. And you know what? Jesus listens. That gives us a very different understanding, potentially, of Jesus and of authority. Authority doesn't mean always having the last word and making a judgment and decision. Sometimes authority means being secure enough in who you are to listen when someone else speaks a truth that you might not have yet fully seen. Jesus doesn't silence this woman. He doesn't reprimand her for challenging him. He engages with her. And Matthew allows us to see the story opening outward through this one single encounter. Now, we don't have to decide exactly what Jesus knew or did not know about his ministry or mission before this moment in order to recognize what Matthew is showing us. We know Jesus has a particular vocation. He understands himself as sent to Israel. And yet when this woman challenges that boundary, the encounter reveals that God's mercy is already larger than even the disciples who are watching and listening and learning could ever imagine. That does not make Israel less important. In fact, it is precisely because Israel matters that this story unfolds in this way. Israel is chosen. Israel has a covenant with God, a particular relationship with God, and throughout Hebrew scripture, particularity and blessing are connected to something larger. We see this with Abraham. Abraham is blessed so that through him all the families of the earth might also be blessed. The story is never simply about keeping God's goodness contained. Another example familiar to most is Ruth. A Moabite woman remains marked by her foreignness and yet becomes part of the story. So much so, she becomes an ancestor of David. And now we see this Canaanite woman who comes to Jesus, calling him the son of David. She doesn't erase the story. She reveals that the story still has room to grow. And that matters for us, because we live in a world where boundaries are constantly being drawn, whether they are drawn for us or we create them ourselves. Some boundaries are necessary. Some protect what is precious, but sometimes we mistake our own boundaries for God's boundaries. And this story asks us to consider what might happen if we become secure enough in our identity in Christ Jesus to listen to the people standing beyond the boundaries that we have drawn. Not because those who challenge us are automatically right and we're wrong, or because boundaries should disappear completely, but because, like the disciples, we may discover that God is already at work in places that are far beyond even our imagination of what is possible. The Canaanite woman doesn't simply cross a boundary. She exposes the limits of the boundaries itself. She shows that God's mercy is not diminished when it reaches someone else, meaning that there is no less grace for us because there is also grace for them. That God's love does not become smaller or less for some simply because it expands to all. So, what do I make of Jesus in this story? I can say I still don't particularly like his silence or his first answer. I don't like how easily the boundaries seem to close around this woman as she's seeking desperately for help. And then I remember that perhaps Matthew isn't trying to make Jesus more likable or easier to digest by giving us this story. Perhaps he's showing us something much more important. That even if Jesus' broader mission was still unfolding before him, he is secure enough in his identity as the Son of God to listen, secure enough to be challenged and to recognize faith when it comes from someone standing on the outside. Maybe that's what makes this difficult story good news. Not that nothing ever mattered or that difference disappears, but that none of those things are bigger or wider than God's mercy could ever be. The Canaanite woman came to Jesus seeking healing for her child, and she was willing to receive only crumbs. But what she revealed was that there was never a shortage of grace for her or for her daughter. She revealed that there is enough, that there is always enough. Can you see it?